serving the Sioux Empire with the latest news and the greatest talk. Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9, and Kello.com.
You are entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9 FM. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. Now here's your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. It's show 574. 574 in our original It's Your Business series. Affordable health care, our topic today, and this is actually the 11th show in this series. We did shows all through October, then staggered the discussions in November, December, and this is the second of our shows in 2014. Live in the studio today, they reminded me they've been here once before together, and that is Lisa Carlson, the Sanford Health Plans, and Deb Muller, the Avera Health Plans. Linda Ross, Community Health Organization of the Dakotas, will be by phone with us. She's a much warmer place today, ladies. She is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And Abby Vanderwerf, Holt McDowell, working strictly with business, is on the road. She is at a private exchange seminar conference in Minnesota, and she will be joining us momentarily. As a reminder, the show today is designed to stay away from politics. I know we're mentioning affordable care and then say stay away from politics. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to deal strictly with the insurance side. Who needs it? The numbers that have signed up, those that don't have to sign up, the questions being asked, and the deadlines. Ladies, if you will, Abby is going right into a conference. Would it be okay if we got the business side of this morning? Abby, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
All right. It's probably not any warmer in the Twin Cities than it is here, and you are into a private exchange seminar today. What do you hope to hear?
Yeah, I think I drew the short end of the stick. I wish I was in Fort Lauderdale, but... You know, it's just kind of something that's evolving and that we need to understand more about. Obviously not something that's really in South Dakota yet, but certainly things that are being talked about across the nation with the private exchange. So I think just to get a better idea of how they're working and what other people are actually doing to be able to advise our clients is the goal behind this seminar today.
Abby, one of the concerns you and I talked about late yesterday was that there are some businesses out there finding employees are going to the exchanges to see if they qualify for subsidies.
Yeah. So I think, you know, obviously it's been a rocky road on the marketplaces. And from what we know, that if an employee has affordable employer-sponsored coverage, that they technically wouldn't be able to qualify for a subsidy on the marketplace. And we've had some employers that have come back to us now and said, well, my employee said that they told the marketplace that they do have affordable coverage, and the marketplace says that they are qualifying for a subsidy anyway. And, you know, of course there are going to be situations where that does happen. I'm not saying that's not true, because there certainly is circumstances where the employer's coverage is affordable and yet the household income is the family makes them qualify. But also this first year, remember, we don't have checks and balances, so to speak, just because the employer reporting isn't necessarily in place until 2015 and reporting in 2016. So I think there could be some circumstances where maybe people qualify and shouldn't, or just the fact that they are not fully understanding what's going on.
Abby, I would guess that there are a number of these that are working with businesses that are now comparing their experiences. And as you do with any story, with any company, you start looking at what's in it for me.
Sure. And I think that, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday, too, about have the questions changed. And certainly I think they have, because I think at first people were like, what in the world is this? And now people are becoming a little more educated, and so they're asking some great questions to their employers about why are things this way and what does this mean for me and should I be checking the marketplace.
60 days or so, we'll have more answers, and still people waiting for guidance in 2015.
Yeah, so we're still waiting for the employer shared responsibility final regulations. for the large employers so that they can have a better idea of what they need to do to be in compliance in 2015. And unfortunately, I feel like we're almost in a worse place than we were at the beginning of last year, because we at least had some, guidance at that point in time. We still have that same guidance, but the problem is that it had a lot of transitional relief built in for 2014. To lead up to 2014, and now we're in 2014, and we don't know what that's going to mean for 2015.
Abby, anything else we should know today from the business side?
No, I think businesses are really just actively looking at what they need to do to gear up for 2015. They're really starting early. They're taking a look at their employees. They're taking a look at their health plan, their costs, and their contribution strategy, and they're really, really trying to understand and dissect what it means for them, what type of plans they need to offer, what alternatives should they be looking at, and what they need to do to be in compliance for 2015.
Any surprises you heard last night in the State of the Union and the response?
You know what? I started to watch it, and then I changed the channel. So I have to say I was a really bad American last night.
All right. Abby, you're a good American to us. Hope McDowell, you work with the businesses. Thanks for the business perspective. Go learn something at the Private Exchange Seminar in the Twin Cities.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plans. Deb Muller, Avera Health Plans. Anything that we heard from Abby this morning that kind of goes along the same trail that you guys have been following?
You know, we're not surprised that there are very few businesses applying for the their products through the insurance exchange. Number one, because the online tool isn't working. Number two, I don't know that they feel that some of the restrictions that is placed on an employer, small employer, when they purchase through the insurance exchange is worth the tax credit that they get. Because there are some limitations and there's parameters around the flexibility that employers used to be able to do things. And once you buy through the exchange, you have to do things the exchange's way. So we've had very little interest from small employer groups to purchase on the insurance exchange, despite the tax credit.
Deb Muller is with Avera.
Thanks. Glad to be here again. Thanks for having Avera here. We are, Bill, actually representing a fair amount of small groups on the shop products. There is a process that's a paper process this year that we're working with the federal government to facilitate for small employers who are interested in taking advantage of shop and the tax credits that are there. So we are seeing some interest there. What Abby brought out in the large community, I think, is something that we're all breathlessly waiting for, which is the next set of rules when it comes to the employer payer play mandates. I understand that within the next 9 weeks, we should be seeing a fair amount of regs coming out from the federal government, giving us more direction in terms of how 2014 is going to play out.
Did ask her about the response last night, and she gave us, with kids at home, I understand, not sitting watching somebody talk about what's going on or the response. Anything that you've heard or read today that tells you that you learned something new last night?
I didn't learn something new. I took interest in his comment that he was going to make use of executive orders when he felt the need to. And we've already seen an example of that back in around Thanksgiving when he exercised the executive order and delayed after we had sent out letters to individuals telling them the plan that you have is not compliant with the ACA, we have to move you to a new plan. Then he exercises his executive order to say, well, you can keep what you have. I know I told you you couldn't keep what you have, but you can keep it now. And so we all had to do a lot of rework and backtrack to allow what the president called a transitional policy year for those employer groups and those individual policyholders. And that was by executive order. And so I think of concern, at least from an industry standpoint, is those are very unpredictable. And when you have unpredictable changes in the industry when we've spent, you know, years, some, you know, months preparing and planning operations and configuring IT systems and staffing, it costs money to react, and as opposed to always being in a proactive mode, then it puts you in a very reactive mode. And so that is always a concern in our industry.
That's Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plan. Deb, from your perspective?
I didn't really learn anything new from the State of the Union last night. It did not surprise me, as Lisa was just sharing, that executive orders are going to continue to be at a pace where we've seen them. We've seen a lot of discretion at the part of the Secretary of Health in being able to modify and delay specific pieces of the Affordable Care Act as early as 2010 when it was first implemented. So our expectation has always been proactively looking at that and saying, okay, what has the potential to change here and how is that going to affect our groups? The executive order that Lisa mentioned where the president changed a bit of some significant underpinnings of the Affordable Care Act, which was to allow people to stay on their plan if they liked that plan through a transitional period. The way that that particular notice was provided indicates that there is still discretionary authority to allow the Department of Health and Human Services to actually extend transitional relief past October of 2014 as well. So there's still going to be a lot of movement within this marketplace that we all need to be prepared for.
Lisa and Deb were talking about their trip to Chamberlain. We talked to Abby this morning, her trip to the Twin Cities for her conference. And Linda Ross, who is with the Community Health Organization of both South and North Dakota, has joined us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Lucky you.
It's raining here. Does that make you feel better?
Not much. I'm getting shakes of the head. As we talk with you, Linda, one of the things that people should know is that the Community Health Organization has been kind of waiting to see and setting up the community meetings. Anything new since we talked about 3 weeks ago?
We're seeing a lot more movement with consumers and enrollment, and we're seeing a lot more progress with enrollment, so that's great news. Some people are going through the process numerous times, but they are getting results. They are getting insurance cards, and so very happy about that, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback, so that's great news. There are, because we have had some problems with the system, you know, some back with consumers. So we've got kind of waiting lists. And so what we're doing with the community health centers is with navigators who are also in-person assisters to do some larger type events to try to work with all those people and get them to the systems. We'll be posting those on our website as they get developed, but we're working hand-in-hand with those other in-person assisters to get people through the process.
We're having a little breakup with you, but I do want to ask you about Jesus Ramirez, who I sent you a little note from, who runs a Spanish-speaking newspaper, explaining a little bit of a language barrier. Some of the Hispanic speaking are very much confused. They're upset. What kind of advice do you give to those?
Well, certainly we have people, and there are people in health centers who are bilingual or who can get interpreter services. So if and I do need to reach out to my students to try to see how we can coordinate with him. Is provide some type of service or opportunity for those folks that, you know, read applications to get that message to them in that way. That would be a great for us to do that. But I would say that if people can go to a community health center or to a navigator or to these events, we can get interpreter services for them, which would help in their understanding, because we recognize it is difficult and that language barrier sometimes is a big problem.
All right, Linda, we are having some difficulty hearing you, but you basically said, if I can interpret your interpretation, is that there is a way for translators can help, that you will get in touch with Jesus and probably some of those others in our communities in the Dakotas that need your help. We appreciate you joining us, even though it's brief this morning from Fort Lauderdale. Let's get you back closer to home so you're getting some of the fine weather that we get here in the Dakotas. At this point, we're going to take a break. When we're going to come back, we're going to talk about success stories. We're going to talk about numbers. We're going to talk more about the Affordable Care. Where are we in the last week of 2014? All a part of It's Your Business on this Wednesday. Affordable health care, the topic, and we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk again with our panel. We appreciate Linda Ross, Community Health Organization of the Dakotas. don't appreciate that she's in Fort Lauderdale, and some of us are a little cooler today. Abby Vanderwerf is at a private exchange seminar conference in the Twin Cities. She shared the business side of it. But in studio, Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plan, and Deb Muller, Avera Health Plans. Last night, one of the things that we did hear about were a couple of winners as far as what has happened with the insurance starting in 2014. Winning stories that you can talk about with some of those that have signed on. Anything that you can share with that, Deb?
They gave the most current ones. You know, there have been lots and lots of stories. We call everybody that we enroll into the marketplace. Most of them have had very good experiences. I think one thing that struck me in the last week was someone who sent us an email through our service at AveraHealthPlans.com website and said to us in his opening frame, in his opening sentence, his words were, "Please be patient with me. I've never had insurance since 2000, so I'm going to ask you a bunch of stupid questions." And that, to me, struck a chord in somebody who's talking to a company providing them a service and asking for the company to be patient with them as a customer, because they did not know how insurance works and wanted to know exactly what their coverage levels were for various services. The other pieces and stories that are heard are families that have gone decades literally without insurance who are now getting access to insurance. Somebody from Mountain West River who couldn't afford a $146 drug, but between the subsidy, he was paying $22 a month in premium, and with a $35 copay for the drug, it made it affordable for him to now actually access those services. Lots of little tidbit stories based upon the conversations that we're having with folks. The people in our call center would be, these are some of the most excited people that they've ever talked to in their, on the call center, and they're also some of the most anxious people to making sure that they've followed all the rules to making sure that coverage is actually in place for that January 1st or February 1st effective date.
You looked at your numbers this morning. You're where as far as those people? It was
3,500 plus, yep, through March.
Lisa, on your side of it, success stories that you've heard about, people that are just tickled to death that they have it, or maybe some of those that are kind of concerned that they have to go through the process?
No, we've had, I would echo what Deb has said, a lot of individuals call once they get their ID cards, and that really to them makes it a very real experience and is very fulfilling for them to have that security in their hand to say, now I have insurance, I can go to the doctor, and I have predictable costs. You know, traffic continues to increase, so we are tracking two numbers. We track applications received, which really, again, is a reflection of the traffic, and then we track how many are what's called effectuated, is a new term for us to all use in our industry. And those are individuals that have actually paid their premium. And so the number of applications that you get aren't always the end number of how many people effectuate, because some individuals, again, if you don't understand the tool and you don't have an agent walking you through it, you don't understand until you get the letter from the insurance company. And the letter says, "Thank you. We received your application through healthcare.gov. Now you owe X amount of premium." And so until they pay that premium, they're not going to get that ID card. So a fair number of people won't don't pay their premium or don't pay it in a timely manner. And so that to us is a reflection of them not understanding what they just purchased online, which hopefully over time will resolve itself as the website evolves and matures and gets more consumer savvy in helping people understand what they see online, what their responsibility is, so that when they get a letter, they understand it. It should be a reinforcing message. They should have already seen that number and understood that number before their health insurance company contacts them.
What we do is we had 10% of the policyholders for January 1st who are applicants through the marketplace. 10% of them fell off because they did not purchase their premium. They did not send a check in. So what we do is we call them and we walk them through again because they have another open enrollment opportunity. As long as we haven't effectuated them back to the federal government, meaning we haven't received a payment back from them acknowledging that the policy is in place, they have another opportunity to go in and enroll through the healthcare marketplace and send their premium in for a new effective date. Right now, we are at January the 28th, so we're accepting applications for a March 1st effective date.
All right. There is a deadline that they're putting out there as March 31st. What does that deadline mean? We keep hearing different dates, and I'll bet there are a lot of people confused as to what March 31st means.
Mm-hmm. March 31st is the end of the first annual open enrollment period. And so if you're applying by the end of March 31st, you're actually going to get a May 1 effective date for insurance coverage. Every year, the government will hold an annual open enrollment period. Since this is a new program and this is the first time that we're all participating in it, it was a six-month open enrollment period. It's a really long time. But next year, it will only go from through December, through basically half of November and through December.
It's a 45-day window next year.
Mm-hmm. And so this is really the government's way of saying, we understand there's going to be a large learning curve here. We want to give enough people time to go on the website maybe one, two, three, four times before they're comfortable enough to actually hit that submit button and say, okay, I get it. I'm going to buy this insurance plan. And this also ties into the individual tax penalty for failure to have insurance. I mean, they're giving individuals enough time saying for 2014, everyone's supposed to have insurance in 2014. And when you're filing taxes in 2015, at this point in time, that law is still in place. So they're trying to, again, encourage people and give people enough time to purchase their health insurance coverage.
There are 144 different cultures in Sioux Falls. We talked about Jesus Ramirez and the Spanish side of it, not understanding, needing some help. How about those other 143 that don't understand? Who do they turn to, and can they get some help?
I think their first person to turn to here is going to be Falls Community Health Center here in Sioux Falls, which is a community health center that has access to multilingual translators that can help people walk through that process. And they also have a navigator program, community assisters, who can help them through that process. For us, we actually have employees of Avera Health Plans who are part of the multicultural fabric of Sioux Falls, and we're using those folks for reach out as well. It is interesting to reach out to various communities because you need to be sensitive to their culture and how you do that reach out. And so we are trying very hard to do that kind of outreach, but we're also trying to be very respectful of how those cultures communicate within each other and respect the wisdom of others within their community.
We're talking with Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plan, Deb Muller with the Avera Health Plan. People have questions today. How do they get some answers from Avera or Sanford?
You can call Sanford Health Plan at 888-535-4831, and we can certainly walk you through it. Our website at sanfordhealthplan.com also has a lot of information on it. We are still encouraging people to reach out to their agent because, again, these are individuals that live in their communities, understand the individuals in their communities. We're a little disappointed in how many, or I should say how few, of our enrollees come in with an agent tied to them. So what this means is that when that person enrolled online, they have an agent number tied to them. That means an agent helped them navigate the website, helped them figure out a plan. Only 28% of our applications have an agent tied to them. We're seeing the repercussions of that already because we've had January 1 coverage. Now, people have almost had a month worth of coverage where they're actually experiencing how their plan works. And if they're disappointed in it, it's oftentimes a reflection of them not understanding what they purchased, which is a reflection of not having an agent explain it to you before you buy it. And so we're really trying to reach out to those individuals who are they want to switch plans. So they maybe bought a $5,000 deductible plan or a high deductible plan, and they didn't understand that they would have to pay for their drugs up front until they hit their deductible. And because of that, not understanding what you purchased online, which again is understandable because the tool is, we all live within the constraints and the tool that the government's provided us. So without having an agent there who has worked with our companies for, you know, a decade, two decades, really is a knowledge gap in our opinion. So we're really trying to get those agents to reach out to those individuals in the communities and say, can you help this person? I you know, there's an opportunity here for you to, again, prove your value within your community and also educate the individuals in your community.
We need to take a break, but for Avera, how do they reach you?
They can reach us at 888-322-2115 or go to our website at AveraHealthPlans.com. We have lots and lots of resources and videos that are teaching tools for folks to learn more and reach out to us through email.
We're going to reach out, get more information, a part of affordable health care on this Wednesday. all part of It's Your Business. Welcome back to It's Your Business, the Affordable Healthcare Plan. We've already talked with Abby Vanderwerth from Holt McDowell. She is at a private exchange seminar conference in the Twin Cities today. Linda Ross, Community Health Organization of the Dakotas. She was in Fort Lauderdale in the studio suffering through our 40-degree temperature today, which is far better than you saw last week. Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plan, and Deb Muller, the Avera Health Plan as well. Let's go back to the open enrollment, the March 31st. We talked about that a little bit through the break. If it passes, what happens?
Well, we've already experienced some folks who missed their January 1st enrollment period, and I've been listening in our call center as calls have come in. And folks have an expectation that is an incorrect expectation that when they are in the emergency room and they are receiving care in the emergency room that they can apply at that point in time for health insurance coverage. That analogy is when you have the car accident out on Phillips Avenue in front of Kelloland Studios, that you can call an insurance company and get that automobile coverage at that point in time to cover that
the
accident that just happened. It's just not going to happen when everything is said and done. Once March 31st closes its enrollment process, you have to have a special enrollment event, which means you have to be married or you have to have lost your employer's insurance for a reason, or you perhaps gave birth. But it's a very defined and narrow group of events that'll happen for you to be able to get access to health insurance. I took a phone call from a local healthcare provider probably 2 weeks ago, and one, a physician who had done a routine colonoscopy for someone who had did not have insurance, and it turned up as cancerous. And so that particular person was not, he was out of luck for January 1st. Now, because we're in the open enrollment period, he could get his application in, he could get his premium paid, and he could hit the next enrollment date, which for him would have been March 1st. But the point is that once you leave March 31st behind, you will not have access to health insurance coverage for the balance of that year until open enrollment happens or you decide to get married or have a baby. I'm not about having a baby to get health insurance coverage.
Lisa, from your side, kind of stories that you can relate?
Yeah, we, again, you'll see our marketing campaigns, I think, for both insurance companies fluctuate along and line up with the open enrollment periods because that's when it makes sense to bring awareness to the open enrollment periods. But come after March 31st, you'll see those advertising campaigns drop off again because there's no sense telling people to go to healthcare.gov. There's very few that will be eligible to enroll outside. You're locked in for the year for your plan. And if you need health insurance, you're going to have to wait until November 15th of next year. Again, outside of what Deb had mentioned, any special election period or light change in your life circumstances that would make you eligible for health insurance. So trying to, again, do the consumer education and debunk some of those myths that they hear, I think, in mass media or misinterpret in the mass media.
From a politician.
Maybe in some circumstances. So healthcare reform is very complex, and the biggest challenge is education for all of us.
We hear the word pre-existing condition. The case that you just mentioned with somebody finding cancer, they didn't have insurance. You would believe from what you hear or what you read that when that date that they enrolled comes about, that they could still then have coverage for it. Is that not the case?
They will still have coverage for it. For instance, this particular gentleman did not have any insurance for January, but he would technically, in the old world, pre-2014, have been considered to have a pre-existing condition when that cancer was found. Now that it's been found, he can still, because we are in an open enrollment period, he can get access to health insurance beginning on his next effective date and go through his treatment regimen for that cancer and have it covered by his health insurance company.
Let's talk demographics. Average age is one of the jump balls we talked about earlier.
You're finding
something interesting?
Yeah, I am. I think our numbers are different. Lisa and I were on that panel, as you mentioned earlier, in Chamberlain last week, and I think that we both have different demographics that are turning up within our populations. Our average age, and an average is an average, but our average age is 42.1 years of age, which is quite lower than the national average, which is running in the mid-50s.
Our average age is down to 38.
Oh, wow.
So it has gone down. And again, because applications change that average, it has gone down. We hope it continues to go down. Having a average age above 40, I guess, is not an ideal situation from a risk management standpoint. So again, and that drives home the point that we do hear in the public media is we got to get the young individuals in, and we have to get them insured and encourage them to apply online because they are the individuals that balance out this risk pool. Of our population, 80% are getting a subsidy of some sort. So that, again, is an indication that those that are applying are those that need help. So they, in fact, qualify for a tax credit or a cost-sharing reduction or both. And those individuals are, in fact, benefiting from this new, the new healthcare reform changes in the sense that it makes them, makes their premiums very affordable when the government is sharing a portion of that bill.
When we come back, we're going to talk about when I contact Avera or Sanford, who am I talking to and what can I ask? We'll talk about that when our affordable care segment on It's Your Business continues. Deb Muller, Avera Health Plans, Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plans, remain with us in the studio. Abby Vanderwerf, Holt McDowell is at a private exchange seminar conference today in the Twin Cities. And Linda Ross, who joined us earlier, suffering with rain in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Of course, if you're in Atlanta today, you can't get around. All right, ladies, as we come back, let's talk a little bit about the other states. I know that, Lisa, you and I talked about North Dakota earlier, and that's something that we've compared North Dakota, South Dakota. How are they different? What are you seeing?
North Dakota has the lowest enrollment of the whole nation right now. So it's been a real head scratcher for us, given the demographics are so similar between the two Dakotas. The socioeconomics are very similar between the two Dakotas. So there is something going on there which seems to prohibit people, or people are less engaged. I don't know what it is, to be honest, in North Dakota, but just the enrollment numbers are not there. And so we continue to watch that. Now, that being said, the federal government also is not invested much from a marketing and a consumer awareness campaign in the quote-unquote red states. So you don't see the same advertising for healthcare.gov that you would see if you were a resident of California, Texas, or Florida.
Or even Minneapolis,
or even
St. Paul.
And that's a state-run exchange, and so they've invested multi-millions of dollars for their own state-run insurance exchange. So they are kind of a independent of federally run exchanges where states are federally run. So we continue to try to elevate consumer awareness. And again, education is the biggest challenge as part of healthcare reform that's this sweeping.
Numbers for Sanford as far as where you're at on the signees?
The applications received to date are 1,139. So that, I mean, that is a reflection of, you know, January was, we received the most application, but that's because there was kind of that pent up, you know, multiple months of people trying to apply from October, November, December. So 3 months worth of applications. So we're still seeing it increase, but now it's kind of, it's every individual month. So there's smaller applications just because it is month to month at this point in time.
Deb, when we talk about Avera, you guys also have Iowa.
We do have Iowa, a small section of the north west geography of Iowa. They too have gone into a partnership arrangement with a federally facilitated exchange, so we're on that particular exchange as well. The Minnesota numbers, if you talk regionally, are probably some of the most surprising numbers, because I think that there is a lot of folks that could benefit from the health insurance exchange, and it's a favorable marketplace from the standpoint of being more socially engaged in these types of services. And they've only, according to their national numbers, I believe, have 15,000 to 16,000 enrollees. And that compares to South Dakota. As Lisa mentioned, North Dakota is the last place. South Dakota is about three positions above it at fourth place in terms of the number of enrollees. I'm put this in context for your listeners. We've got 110,000 uninsured, and that number varies depending upon who you're talking to or what report you're reading. We've got 110 uninsured in South Dakota. 47,000 of them would get coverage if the Medicaid expansion were to go through. That leaves roughly 50 or 60,000 people that are currently uninsured within this marketplace who are electing. We only have 3,500 of them electing as of the federal reports for January 1st to get health insurance. I think the big story here is, how do we get folks engaged And understanding the value that there is to carrying a product such as health insurance, and recognizing that there are these tax credits that are there to make their monthly premiums much more affordable. As Lisa mentioned her numbers earlier, we're seeing that 86% of all applicants that are coming through the marketplace receive a tax credit. And that tax credit on value will take up at least 70% of their total premium. So there is value here, and for many South Dakotans, they're leaving the money on the table. And that's a shame, because as employers, whether or not you're self-funded or you're fully insured or individual policyholders or group policyholders, a piece of our premium is all going to Washington, D.C. to be able to support this program and to give tax subsidies back to the states. And we aren't receiving nearly our fair share of those subsidies right now.
Ladies, we have 3 minutes left to talk, and what I want to do, we find with the businesses that come on this show that they like to always talk about, we answer our own phones. There are people that will take the calls. And right now, with the numbers that you ladies have shared with us this morning, people need to call. They need to figure out where they're going, what they're going to do. They need to be able to sleep at night. So when they call Sanford, they have some people that they can talk to. What will they be asked to share?
Yeah, when you're shopping for insurance, you get driven to our sales line, and those individuals are licensed agents, which again is very important for us to have licensed agents manning those phones, answering questions tied to the specifics around their lifestyle and the plan that would fit them. There are some individuals, if they're healthy, they're very happy with a high deductible health plan because they don't have to use healthcare much. They need the occasional antibiotic or urgent care visit, but they don't have a chronic condition which would require them to pay, you know, co-pays and co-insurance month after month, which can be burdensome. And then there are other individuals, maybe families with young kids. They want a plan with a higher premium, but they want a low monthly co-pays. So they might have to go to a doctor, you know, 4 times a month for all of their kids and their family. So they want low monthly co-pays because that's what's financially manageable to them. So our licensed agents will help kind of walk them through, well, what are your life circumstances that tell me little bit about yourself and what your expectations are, so I can help advise you on what plan would be the best plan for you.
From Avera.
We actually have, I'm going to throw this out there for folks, you don't necessarily need to go to healthcare.gov to take a look at what plan might be the best for you. We actually have a tool on our website at AveraHealthPlans.com that will take people through a selection process where they can actually input their healthcare experience from the last year, and we will provide recommendations as to what might be the best fit for them based upon whether or not they like a lower monthly premium or a higher monthly premium, and then take that information. They don't have to enroll through that process, but they can take that information and take that over to healthcare.gov and actually make their choice there and get the tax credits that are available.
Well, the point we make with this show, and we will do another show, I think I said the 12th of February, that it's your insurance. It's your family. You need to make your own decision. And the people that have been on the show today, Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plan, Deb Muller from the Avera Health Plan, Abby Vanderwerth, Holt McDowell dealing with businesses, and Linda Ross, Community Health Organizations of the Dakotas, they're all there to answer your questions, get you some answers. And that's what we will do when we return in a couple of weeks. Ladies, we appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we welcome you back in February. From hosting It's Your Business, showing homes as a realtor, and attending countless community meetings, you might say my daily life is wire to wire and then some. I'm Bill Zortman, and I have a hard time winding down and going into the sleep mode at night. And thanks to our new Comfort King, I'm learning to sleep better and better each night. Our personal Comfort King quality mattress with massage has dual controls. My wife gets her settings, I get mine, meaning we work less at getting to sleep and more just sleeping. We wake up more rested than we have in years. The Comfort King guarantee created the perfect firmness my wife needed for her nursing back and my needs as well. We appreciate working with Chris Larson and the Comfort King factory. No middleman, and that saves you money. Your bed really is your business investment. Why toss and turn at night? Get fitted for your own Comfort King. But it's Sioux Falls' best. Comfort King. Why not sleep like a king and queen? Well, let's bring the guy that's on the job this morning, Russ Hoovendick. Russ, good to have you with us. We've talked a lot about health care, which is always important to people when they're looking for jobs.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Good to be with you again.
And again, jobs was one of the things that was talked State of the Union last night, where the president, even the response to that, talked about the importance of more people getting jobs, the fact that we still have people unemployed or underemployed, and that's where you come in.
Yeah, we sure do. And what's really pretty interesting now is that we have a number of veterans in the interview process with companies out there, and they're one of the answers to the needs of employers, for sure. I just had spoken again yesterday with Dr. Mike Eccles down at Bellevue University on some of the strategic initiatives we're doing for the veterans and bridging that gap between veteran and employer. And so there's some pretty neat things coming down the pike.
Fortune 500's ask you to pen a book, Deployment to Employment. Are you by nature an author, or how did you get in that mode?
Well, I like to write, but I didn't. I never really thought I'd be writing books, and now we have. I've actually got 3 books out, and then we're working on a couple others, 2 that I think are going to be a real benefit to the employment sector.
All right, we got somebody out there today. They're saying, "Look, I think Russ, with the fact that he is an executive recruiter, doesn't cost me anything, might be able to help me." How do they go about finding you online, find you in person, call you?
Sure. They can go to clientstaffingsolutions.com, and then they can also visit our career website, which is a free website for job seekers, and that's directionalmotivation.com. And, of course, they can reach out and just call me direct at 605-362-8176, and then my extension is 101.
You know, we had all the politicians weigh in last night, Russ, on the state of jobs. The one guy that they didn't ask to jump in was you, and you're the authority here. What would you say the state of the jobs is in South Dakota, Northwest Iowa, and Minnesota?
Yeah, there's a lot of openings. Actually, we have the highest number of openings I think we've had as an executive search firm in a long time. And the thing is that we're looking for really good qualified people, and I think South Dakota has that.
Well, and we would encourage the businesses that they'd like to have a chance to give out some of the deployment to employment, how to interview from a guy that is an executive recruiter. You need to get a hold of Russ. Russ, one more time, how they reach you.
Sure. excuse me, bad voice here today. My phone number is 605-362-8176, and my extension is 101.
Russ, we'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
You betcha. Rev is back with me this morning.
Yes, sir.
Quite the show, 574. We had all the affordable health care folks.
Oh, you said 574.
I did say that.
Yeah.
It was nice to have Deb Muller with Avera Health Plans, Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plans, Linda Ross, Community Health Organization of the Dakotas. She was by phone in Fort Lauderdale. Sorry, that connection was not as good as it should be. Maybe it was the warm weather that didn't recognize below zero temperatures in the Dakotas. Do you think?
Could be, yeah.
And Abby Vanderwerth, Holt McDowell, who is our business linked to this. She is at a private exchange seminar conference in the Twin Cities. She talked to us before she went into that conference. She's at smack dab in the middle of it right now. We'll be back with another affordable healthcare show on Wednesday, February the 12th. Till then, you have places you can go to find out. Take care of your family. For now, though, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.